B-Pod Studios.
Jasper!
Hey, Murray.
Jasper!
Hey, Murray.
Jasper!
All right, third and final hour here, 98.5, the Sports Hub of Gasper and Murray. Without Murray, he's down in our nation's capital today, so you got me, Christian Arcand, here. We just wrapped up our Celtics hour, the Celtics show at noon, but we can continue with Celtics calls if you want to make them at 617-779-0985. We did, in the first hour, talk a lot about the NFL and the new CBA. That's certainly on the table, and the David Ortiz comments from earlier in the week will certainly have those back on the table as well. But as usual, Gasper, when I'm on the air anyway, I don't know about you, we've neglected the Bruins, and I apologize for that. I know you had the hockey show leading into this one, but it's important to get them into the conversation here as well, because don't look now, but they're playing really, really great hockey. And unlike the Celtics, they actually made a move at the trade deadline. Now, there may be another one coming, and I think a lot of people are hoping that there is. I certainly am, but they've done something. Don Sweeney has done something. He got Kesha, recording artist Kesha, from... the Anaheim Ducks, which is very, very good to see. It's Andre, one of those Andre with an O, you know? That's how I'm, because his name, it looks like Case, but it's Kesha.
I was going to say, it does. I keep wanting to call him Case, and yeah. I know that's wrong.
I actually, when I broke the news yesterday, said Cache, which is totally wrong.
That's
but
a cooler
I knew it wasn't Case, so I'm just going to stick with Andre with an O. So Andre with an O is coming to the Bruins. He's not a big name or anything like that. He was certainly on Ty Anderson's big board and was a guy that was on the trade block, and everybody was sort of aware of that. He's young, 24 years old, little guy, right shot, right winger. And I think that there's certainly a place for him on this roster. He doesn't have great numbers, 7 goals and I think 16 assists on the year. But this could be the precursor to another move, and maybe not a big one like a Kreider or a Palmieri, but maybe another sort of Charlie Coyle, Marcus Johansson, and people have been saying that this was more like the Johansson trade, this Andre with an O kid from Anaheim. So I don't know a lot about him. I'm not going to pretend like I do, but I do like that Sweeney's being active, especially in response to what the Lightning and the Capitals have done here in the last couple of weeks. I'm all for this, and I think the Bruins are responding well in turn on the ice. That was a nice one last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the Bruins, it's really impressive what they've done this year, coming off the crushing loss in the Stanley Cup Final in Game 7 in their own building. And I like the fact that Don Sweeney has basically said he's all in. And I think that's what they should be when you look at this Bruins team. I mean, they have the best record in the NHL. They have the most points. But when you look at the roster, I think you have guys who are playing as well as they're probably going to play in the next couple of years, just based on age. You know, you want to be able to take advantage of sort of the prime of a guy like Brad Marchand. You want to be able to take advantage of the fact that Patrice Bergeron at 34 is still playing at a really, really high level. You want to be able to take advantage of the fact that when you look at David Pastrnak, he's become a superstar and one of the best goal scorers in the league, because all these things are not going to be true at the same time for that much longer. You have 42-year-old Zdeno Chara. They really should be all in this year on trying to maximize this window and take advantage of the talent they have on the team right now. And, you know, they still have the top 6 forward hole, and that's been going on for a couple of years now. It was plugged sort of temporarily, I think, last year by Coyle and Johansson. But this year, again, when you look at it, they need that top 6 right wing. I don't know if Kasha's the guy that can really fill that spot, but I just feel like I love the deal that Sweeney made, because I don't feel like they gave up that much. They didn't have to give up Lazan. They didn't have to give up Stanika. They didn't have to give up Vakanainen. Right. So they didn't have to give up their best prospects. You got Anaheim to take 3/4 of Backus's money, and you're giving up a first-round pick that's probably going to be at the back half of the first round. That's not much to get a guy who's under contract for another year and could help you. And I'd love to see if maybe there's one more move here that they can make to just really try and put him over the top and get that second cup. And the other thing I'll say on this too, Arcand, is I think winning a second cup for this core, Bergeron, Chara, Marchand, and really Tuukka, who I know he was, you know, the backup when they won with Thomas.
It'd be the first one for him, yeah.
It'd be the first one. But that core winning a second cup, to me, changes their whole legacy.
Absolutely.
Like, you go to 4 Stanley Cup finals and you're 2-2 versus you went to three and only won one.
And you needed Tim Thomas to do that for you.
And you needed Tim Thomas to stand on his head. That looks completely different. Like, this is a legacy thing for this core, and I think even for Sweeney.
Yeah, 100% I agree with that. That would make such a difference. And obviously a Stanley Cup's going to make a difference. But for this group, it definitely would. And it's probably the last chance, although I feel like we've been saying that for about 3 years.
I know.
You know, especially when it comes to, like, guys like Chara and Krejci and guys like that, a little long in the tooth. I do sort of think, and now that we're at the deadline, or at least, you know, a couple days away from it, I remember, you know, when Bergeron and Lucic and Mark Savard and, you know, Marchand and Krejci and all those guys, not all at the same time, but mostly were all coming up together. And there was a real sense that they were the future, you know, like they were going to do things, and they all sort of contributed right away when they played. And, you know, we're all kind of coming up at the same time. And Claude Julien back then used to love coaching young players. And it was a very different time back then in the early 2000s, you know, but that, or the mid 2000s, I should say. But there was a real sense that these guys were going to take this team, maybe not to the next level, but they were going to take them somewhere. I don't know that I necessarily feel that way about the Stadnikas and the Anders Bjorks and the Trent Fredericks of the world right now. So I wonder if that maybe makes them more expendable if you want to sort of sell out. Like, there's good young players on the team. You know, Pastrnak obviously is tremendous, and Jake DeBrusque and, you know, some of these other guys. Like, I'm not, you know, Brandon Carlo. I think they have good young talent. But in terms of, like, the prospects and the guys in the two-way contracts, I feel like there's not that same sort of, oh, we can't move on from these guys.
Yeah.
They're good, but they're not what we sort of came up with, the guys who are now veterans, not like they were, you know?
No, yeah, I don't think, I mean, that's one thing. I think one of the reasons Don Sweeney was hired by Cam Neely as the general manager was to replenish the prospect pipeline. And I would say that they've had sort of mixed success with that. Yeah, in an ideal world, they're probably not making this move for Kasha. They're probably bringing somebody up from Providence who can step up and replace. And for the last couple of years, at the beginning of the year, that's sort of been the goal. You know, let's try and do this internally. Let's try and find another top six forward internally. They haven't been able to do it. And when you look at your core of players, how many of those guys are on the wrong side of 30? You know, Marchand is, Krejci is, Bergeron is, Rask is, Chara is. How much longer can you squeeze out of this core? And it just doesn't seem like you're going to see the young guys coming up that they're trying to develop. It doesn't seem like they're going to be ready in time to align with the current core that you have while that core is still viable. So now the alternative is to go out and make some of these trades. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not looking to get rid of guys, but if you have to move on from Bjork to get somebody in, mm-hmm. like Palmieri or someone who can help put this team over the top this year to win the cup, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not looking to ship the guy out of town. I like him. I'd like to see him stick around, but I'm just not sure he's going to reach his full potential at the same time that this core is viable and you're a cup contender.
Yeah, I've heard Danton Heinen's name, other guy. Like, I like Heinen, you know, I think Heinen's a good player, but I think you can do better. And if he's part of the means to do that, then I think you got to take those sort of things seriously. With that being said, they just traded their first round pick for this Andre with an O guy. I feel like Kreider and Palmieri and some of these, maybe you could replace that with a prospect, but you know, draft picks still have value, especially first-round draft picks. It took a first just to unload David Backes' contract, really, if we're being honest here, because Anderson for, you know, Andre with an O could have probably been done on its own. But they wanted to get rid of that Backes money and clear it up to either make another move or re-sign Krug in the offseason, or who knows how they're going to use it. But that was an important part of this move. I sort of look at that and think, okay, well, now that you've used that chip, how are you going to make this other trade? Because the Rangers are certainly going to want at least a first for Kreider. And, you know, Palmieri, I'd have to imagine that that's what they want down there too. So, I don't know. I mean, I hope they didn't paint themselves into a corner with that, I guess, is my point.
Well, at least they got someone. I mean, it seems like the Kreider thing seems more and more unlikely. And you read some stuff that the Rangers still think they can re-sign him. New Jersey, I mean, that should be a teardown at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, they should be selling everybody off. And I don't know. I mean, if you had to give up your 2021 first round pick to get someone, would you do it? It's hard. I mean, how far do you want to go? But you look at some of these other deals that were made, like the Lightning made a deal for, what was it, Blake Coleman?
Yes.
They had a good, they have prospects with value, you know, a kid like Nolan Foote that they can flip. I think for the Bruins, they don't have as many of those guys. Like I can't see the Bruins giving up Stadnika. And I just don't think they have as many of those guys really to offer. And that's kind of part of the problem. So how do you replace it? You replace it with draft picks. And I think under Sweeney, they've had some good luck finding guys in the second round. Like Brandon Carlo's a second round pick. They've had luck finding guys beyond – the first round of the draft. So if you had to give up another one and it's the guy that's going to put this team over the top, I would do it. Another factor for me with this year's team, can they re-sign Krug? Now they cleared a little money. Can they re-sign Krug?
They can afford to now, yeah.
But if they don't, if Krug does the full Mookie Betts and says, I want to go to the market, and they lose Krug, that's another guy that helps your team that would not be available to you next year. I mean, I feel like the Bruins are really in their sweet spot for Stanley Cup contention here, and Sweeney has to push it. He has to push it to the limit to give this team everything it needs and the best chance possible to win another cup.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Ryan is in Abington with a thought on the Bruins trade. Go ahead, Ryan.
Thank you. I just had basically you just answered how you guys thought about the David Backes and retaining, you know, 25% of his salary. I don't think giving up that first round pick for him was a smart move. I think getting rid of David Backes, him being older, I don't agree with the trade. I just wanted to see.
You wanted to keep David Backes?
No, I did not want to keep David Backes. But I don't think we should have gave up a first. I don't think we should have given up a first rounder
for him. Is there another player involved that? Well, we let him go. But I'm just curious if there was like another player, like, you know, maybe if it were Kreider, is there another player that people would be okay with them giving up the first? I mean, I don't know. The first,
I think they would have been fine for Palmieri or Kreider or pretty much anybody in the top three of their targets, even like Toffoli, who's gone now, I know. But, you know, they had their eyes on him, and someone in Canada said they were in his back. He was in the Bruins' back pocket, which I like Toffoli. I remember Toffoli back on the Monarchs.
Yeah.
Like, he was a good player.
No, I like
and
him too.
He was good for the Kings, but I think he's not that good anymore. But I think, you know, everybody would have been okay. First-round pick for any of them? Sure. For Kreider? Sure. For Palmieri? Absolutely. Of course. I don't think there's any question. It's throwing that in as part of a David Backes salary dump and getting back this Andre with an O kid who's pretty good, but, you know, maybe bottom end of the top six, middle six, I guess. I don't know. That seems like more where he'd be. I think people want, if that first-round pick was going to go, it's not so much that we wanted the player, but we would have rather you used it on somebody else.
I can understand that, but you have to also factor in that their first-round pick is going to be at the end of the first round.
Right, right.
That's the thing.
Yeah, it's true. All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Bruins calls lining up. We'll get to those right after this.
Gasper and Murr, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Conversations between teams, you know, they spend over a fairly long period of time before you land in a trade. We've had ongoing discussions with several teams for players that we identified that we wanted to add in the talks with Bob over the last period of time. There was genuine interest in this type of deal, and so we explored it. And, you know, I thank Bob in terms of all the communication that he put forth with me. I thank David in the fact that, you know, he had trade restrictions that he could have exercised. So finding a landing spot is what it is. It's a difficult exercise. It takes time, and it takes communication. And fortunately, we were able to do most of those during this period of time.
All right, that's Don Sweeney there in a conference call. Audio's a little tough there, but he's talking about the trade. Pretty good trade. I feel like it's getting a mostly positive reaction around NFL circles. Who cares about NFL circles? NHL circles are giving it a nice reaction, which is good. And I also, you know, think getting out of that David Backes contract was something that was important for this team in terms of payroll flexibility going forward. There's also the matter of the first-round pick that had to go over there in order to facilitate this deal. I don't think that's, you know, that's the cost of doing business. You remember Marlowe getting traded. They needed to throw in a pick for that, and they ended up only getting like a six-pack. That's how much it costs, basically, to dump salary. If you want to dump that much salary, it costs you about a first-round pick. It's hockey picks. They're not as valuable as they are in, you know, other sports, but it is something that you need to do to facilitate something like this. I do wonder, though, if maybe that is going to restrict them in terms of a secondary move, because I think I speak for most Bruins fans when I say I hope that's not the only move. I hope that there's something else coming down the pipeline here. Doesn't have to be Kreider, doesn't have to be Palmieri, but something a little bit more than Andre with an O, I think, would be better for all of us, right? I think it'd be better for the team. I think Bruins fans would be preferring that, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at least they did some. I think this is kind of a stopgap move in that this is a guy with some upside. They made a move. They bolstered their team. And if Sweeney can swing for the fences and bring in somebody else, he will. But if he can't, at least this kid should be like a solid double, you know, and then you're good. You've done something. What he couldn't do was do nothing for this team, especially with the Lightning pushing them right now in the Eastern Conference and in the Atlantic Division. And the other part of it, as I mentioned, is there's a lot on the line for everybody. Sweeney, the core of the Bruins, I'd say even Cassidy, in terms of getting another cup here, getting this cup. You know, the cup would mean a lot for Cassidy as a coach, would mean a lot for Tuukka as the goalie, would mean a lot for Sweeney as the GM. It would mean a lot for that core to be able to say, okay, we went to four Stanley Cup finals, we won half of them. You know, we probably should have won another one in Game 7 in our own building. That right. stinks. But it just changes the way you look at it versus being a one and done group from a championship standpoint versus a group that won multiple championships.
Yeah, and along with the Lightning, the Capitals traded for Brendan Dillon last week too. So that's another team that you don't want to face in the playoffs that also got better. And you luckily got to avoid facing either one of them last year because the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Carolina Hurricanes did all your dirty work.
That's a really great point that you bring up, because last year the Bruins, that's another reason to take advantage. Last year the Bruins make it to the Cup and you didn't have to face Washington. You didn't have to face Pittsburgh. You didn't have to face Tampa Bay. You might have to face those teams this time around. The road should be a lot tougher than it was last year.
It's almost a guarantee you're going to have to face one of them. If they can avoid those two again, that's like dancing through raindrops if you can avoid them 2 years in a row. And I'm not saying it's a guaranteed win for Tampa Bay or Washington if they play them in a playoff series, but it's going to be a lot tougher than Columbus and Carolina were last year. I think we can all agree on that, especially the way Tampa's been playing lately. Not to say the Bruins haven't been playing well lately. They have, but we all know what that matchup's like. Let's get to your Bruins calls here at 617-779-0985. Bill is in Drake. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's
good.
Up?
How are you?
Hey, good. Gasper, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, and I hope
sure.
you don't mind.
Go
but
ahead.
I called in because about 10 minutes ago, I heard you say that you didn't think the Bruins had enough prospects in their system to pull off another deal. And I think that is completely and utterly untrue. They still have guys like Jakob Forsbacka-Carlson. They could still move a guy like Danton Heinen. They still have Urho Vaakanainen. They have a bunch of these top-tier prospects like Jakob Lacho, Oscar Steen, all these guys, and even goalies. They have depth at goalie with Jeremy Swayman, Kyle Kaiser, and even Daniel Villadar, who's down in Providence right now, leaving the AHL and goals against, save percentage, all that stuff. And even from a defensive perspective, they got some pretty solid depth there, and that's why they were able to move a guy like Axel Anderson, who had a pretty decent ceiling. I just wanted to say that I think that's very disingenuous to say that.
It might be wrong. But, you know, go look up disingenuous. Disingenuous is I'm intentionally saying that I'm intentionally trying to knock them. It's not intentional. It's just my opinion. Now, my opinion could be wrong. I could be inaccurate. That's fine. But it's not disingenuous.
All right. Well, then I misspoke and used the word incorrectly. But I don't
can't do that. You can't do that around Gasper,
yeah,
Bill.
Really
it's just
can't.
The one guy. You can't do it.
Well, the sad part is my degree is in education, so you know of our future of America is pretty much screwed now. Thanks.
No.
But you raise a valid point.
That's a fair point. I probably was underselling the prospects. I guess I should have sharpened my point by saying not that they don't have those guys, Bill, but how many of them do they want to give up? So, you know, do you want to give up a Studnicka? Do you want to give up a Vaakanainen? It just seems like maybe they don't have as
honestly,
many they want to give up.
Yeah, but you got to look at the window, too. I think the window with the Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci is closing, and it's closing fast.
Yep.
So either way, when that's over and done with, you're going to have to reset. So it's either reset now or reset then. And I think if they're going to make a run, I'd kind of take the former and reset later, because I think they can make a run, and I think they have the depth pieces to do it, especially on the back end, and I think that you're going to have to do it this year.
So would you give up a Studnicka or a Vaakanainen to bring somebody
so
in?
I'd give up a Vaakanainen, and I think that Sweeney's done a great job drafting defensively, we'll say, with Ryan Lindgren, Urho Vaakanainen, and Axel Anderson. I think he's doing a great job with that. Now, as far as Studnicka, I see Studnicka maybe potentially in the offseason moving up to like a third-line center role in the Bruins next year, Coyle moving up to the second, and Krejci getting moved. So I wouldn't touch Studnicka, but I think they have plenty of wings and plenty of ways to move around, especially, you know, you got a lot of foreign assets like Kokalchev, Jakob Forsbacka-Carlson, guys like that that are going to be, that have already said they wanted to come back to the NHL. that I think you got to look at moving around to make it work. I think they can, to be honest, and I don't know.
All right, thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate
thanks, Bill.
It.
Appreciate
you gave Bill
call.
A lot of time there. But, yeah, I think that there's, you know, when I was talking about the prospects or lack thereof, I mean, he gave you a lot of names there. I'm not sure how well-regarded those prospects are by other teams in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Bakke Carlson was a big prospect, and he's kind of in Sweden now. He flamed out. I don't know how people feel about him. I mean, is he sort of like another – remember Carl Soderberg?
Yeah, sure.
The one-eyed Swede?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not reading hockey news. I don't know how the Bruins system is sort of regarded, but my perception was that they have some really high-end guys they like Vakanainen and Studnicka, but that after that maybe their prospects are viewed – a little different than other people's, but that could be wrong. That's just my perception of it.
Well, when I was bringing up the old core of, you know, the Marchand and Lucic and Bergeron and Mark Savard and all those guys, I was bringing that up to say you don't trade those guys, right? Like you have a group like that, you keep them together. You don't you don't start messing around and trading them off for, like, you know, a 1 year goodbye season for Zdeno Chara or something like that. Like, you want to keep guys like that around. I'm not necessarily sure that the guys in the Bruins system right now have that sort of futures attached to them by the team or by the fans or by anybody. And it's just, you know, it's a little unfair because that's an amazing group of forwards I just listed off, and they all sort of came up roughly at the same time. But, you know, that's sort of what I look at. All right, you already traded the draft pick, so now you're going to have to go to prospects. Are there guys like that who you just would refuse to move on from? And outside of, you know, Vakanainen and Studnicka, I'd say probably not. Let's go to Mike in Lowell. He has a thought on a potential Bruins trade target. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Joe Thornton. I think it would be a possibility to get him back. Would it be good for a number six guy, a little bigger, a little tougher, throw his weight around, help us out a little bit, get him a cup? What do you think? Your thoughts?
No.
I like Jumbo Joe. I always like him, but I always thought he was miscast here in that despite his size, and you look at the great career he's had, he was always more of a setup guy than a goal scorer. That's
true.
Always the way he's played, and I don't think they need another setup guy.
Yeah. And he's so old.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he's... I remember, you know, a Gimla coming in here and, like, you know, Ralston and some of these guys. You get him at the end of the career. But, like, Joe Thornton, I mean, that guy... And the Sharks, it's amazing. In his time there, the Sharks have lost to every single team in the whole Western Conference at some point in the playoffs. Like, just, I mean, over and over and over again. Every say you go, look at the Sharks. Every say you go down their reference page, like, every year it's a different team beating them. They can't beat anyone in the playoffs. It's just been, it's been rough for them. But I think, and I know they've made it a couple of rounds here and there, but for the most part, I'm all set on Joe Thornton. I don't know if he'd help this team or not. Maybe
I mean,
it would
be
bit,
a neat story, but I just think from a hockey standpoint, I don't think he's what they need, and especially the way the game is now. Like, obviously, you know, Joe Thornton's 100 times more accomplished than Andre Kasha, but
of course,
but the way the game is now with the emphasis on speed, I think Kasha might actually be a better fit.
Yeah, I think he probably would be too. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We will get back to your Bruins calls. Also, we'll reset on the NFL, the new CBA, the vote that got delayed, and some news out of Fort Myers from the Red Sox right after this.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five is your phone number here. Arkin in for Murray, Gasper and Murray. Arkin, whatever, you know what it is. B-Rob's back there taking your phone calls. Again, the number 617-779-0985. Talking a little Bruins and getting a little bit of a response here as the Bruins making a trade yesterday. And it was not a huge trade. It was big in the sense that they were able to shed some salary and get under that out from under that David Backes contract. It cost them a first-round pick to do it. And now the question is, do they have enough to make another move? So with that in mind, let's go to your calls. Dan is in Cranston. Go ahead, Dan. Dan, I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, no, there's Dan. Oh,
there's
okay,
Dan.
All right,
okay,
fine. You needed to be threatened before
I was in,
you
was in the package store. You got to give me my priorities.
All right, I understand.
Geez, okay.
You're getting ready. You got a late game tonight, so you got a lot of pre-gaming to do.
Yeah, XFL and everything, you know, it's a long
right.
day. Real quick, in a hard cap league like the NHL, a truly hard cap league.
Yes.
Cap space is way more important than a first-round draft pick. You know, especially the cap relief. Do you get, what do they get, $4 million, Dan, I agree with you 100%. Right?
That's why it costs that much just to dump Backus. I mean, that it cost you a first-round pick just to do that.
What's a hit rate on a first-round pick in the NHL? Seriously.
Not that great.
Yeah, why people call in and say, I don't want to give up. Are you kidding me? It's like a lottery ticket getting rid of Backus. You don't have that dead weight anymore. That's the equivalent of having, what, probably 20 million dead cap in the NFL?
Yeah, it's close to that.
That's a bad.
Dan, here's the only problem. I agree with everything you're saying, Dan. The only qualm I have is this. If that's where the first round pick goes, the Rangers and the Devils both seem to want first round picks for their guys. So, you know, I'd rather have Palmieri or Kreider than Andre with an O there. And if that's where the first round pick went and now you don't have it anymore, that's a bit of an issue. You can dip into, you know, future first round picks. Like Gasper said, you can go with more prospects. But, you know, if that's part of a package that these teams are asking for, I don't love that.
I look at the bigger picture. I said, if they can use this money also to just sign one of their guys that they wouldn't have been able to sign before, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great
point. There's so much you can do. If this is like the difference of keeping somebody like Jake DeBrusk, Christ, thank God they did it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That it's a core guy. They can keep a core guy because of this, probably.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I thought this was a steal for Sweeney. You dump $4.5 million of Backus's money. You're giving up a first-round pick that's going to be at the end of the first round. You get a player who can help you who's young and under club control beyond this season. And you didn't have to give up any of your premium prospects. I mean, I thought it was a fleecing, to be honest. I know ESPN wrote it was a fleecing. So I thought this was a great move by Sweeney and a great deal. We'll see how it ends up working out in the end. But
all right, let's go to our old buddy Mike in Woburn. He has a thought on the Bruins. Mike, what took you so long?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Listen, this was I was talking about this earlier this week. I was like, it would be awesome to feel like it would like you were on the other end of one of those Shirelli deals, and that's what that deal to Anaheim felt like. I mean, if you look at what Toronto had to do to get rid of Marlowe, the Bruins basically got rid of almost the same cap hit and almost the same real cash. Like, that's the other thing that people overlook. The owners, they're all watching the dollar, too. The real cash that they have to pay these guys is important. Backus's fourth year was built so that you could trade him. The majority of the money came on the first day of the year. He got a $3 million signing bonus, and his salary was only $1 million this year. So a team taking him this year only had to eat about, like, $200,000 in change at the deadline. That was a huge reason why he was palatable to another place over a guy like Marlowe, who had a huge chunk of actual cash that they still had to eat, and Carolina ended up buying him out. And the fact that you get a guy back that is an RFA-controlled guy, you have another year on his contract.
Right.
I know he's got injury history, but he's a good guy, and you have money to make another move. Like, Sweeney's also set us up for another year of contention. They basically, the cap space he's created next year means that you've got two shots at this thing, which is why I'd love to see them get Palmieri, because he's got term. But if you can't get him because you lost the first, then you've got to try to make one of these ancillary picks. I know, like, Craig Smith in Nashville has been mentioned. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that don't get moved. I don't think Charlie Coyle was a guy that a lot of people thought was going to be available last year.
You're right.
And you got him for Donato in a fifth. If they held on to Charlie Coyle this year, they'd get a bonanza for the guy. If you look at guys that have like a year left on teams that are already sellers and might be set, you know, might have like New York, take New York for instance, they're selling Kreider, right? Maybe they get to re-sign him. Well, maybe if they sign him for a lot of money, Pavel Buchnevich becomes like a guy that you could get, and he's under contract for another year. That's a good right wing who can score. Maybe you can get him for a Vaakanainen and a second, and now you've loaded up for the next 2 years. You know, there are other ways you can do this, and I'm willing to offer my services. If they do trade for Wayne Simmons, who everybody tells me is washed up, I don't care, I love Wayne Simmons, I'll drive to New Jersey and pick up Wayne Simmons. We'll carpool on the way back. I will stand outside of New Jersey, with the boombox, holding it up, waiting for Wayne Simmons to come out and meet me.
Well, you're going to have to wait a while, because it's going to take him at least a half an hour to skate out the door.
Oh.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Mike and Woburn
great
there.
Call.
I think Simmons would be, you talk about Joe Thornton being slow. Buffalo.
I take a flyer on
Wayne Simmons. Really get off the ice.
I mean, I've always liked the player. Like Mike has liked him, and also he's physical.
I liked him back when he was good.
No, I know. I mean, he's definitely slowed down, but at least he gives you a little physicality.
Yeah, he does. No question about it. And this team, you know, for better or for worse, isn't the toughest customers in the world. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's an ancillary move if ever there was one. I think they can do better than him. Let me put it that way. Mike is in Cranston. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, I was calling just about acquiring just Josh Anderson. I believe either a second-round pick or Vaakanainen and Heinen would be able to get it done, and it'd be good for a rental because everybody should keep in mind that Krejci and Rask also are up for contracts, not next year but the year after. So I'll leave you guys with that.
Yeah, Josh Anderson was the guy at the top of Ty Anderson's big board, but I think that, you know, his injury history is vast, and I just think that that's a big risk to take here on a guy that I think could be, you know, a big strong power forward on this team, and certainly someone who's, you know, fits, he checks all the boxes, like, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I mean, that I'd feel much more comfortable with Palmieri or Kreider or somebody like that. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Murray's not here, but that doesn't mean that we are foregoing the five questions. We will have the five questions. The questions are actually right on deck right now. I was just reading over them, and we'll have those for you in just a few minutes. By the way, coming up next, we got the Mac brothers. We got McCarthy and McCone.
Oh, yes.
Mac and Mac. The Big Macs over there. So they'll be on, and they got a
Mac attack.
4-hour show for you. They'll be going on
4 hours,
two until six. Yeah, afternoon drive. How about that?
Wow.
4-hour shows. People act like that's a lot. It's not a lot. Jones and I do 5 hours a night up against the Red Sox all summer long. That's a lot. Okay?
That is
four,
a lot.
4 hours is nothing.
But that show has a built-in hour of grab ass, though.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about the Dong Report?
I actually like the Dong Report. The Dong Report's awesome.
The Dong Report is not grab ass.
It's not grab ass.
It's grab dong, which is totally different, I'll have you know. What's the built-in hour of grab ass?
It's just, you know, you guys kind of BSing, and then there's always some, like, late 90s, early 2000s reminiscing. Jim and I do it here, but it's like we're on a 3-hour show, you know?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think we ever do that.
Talking about
sports.
There'd be, like,
the
a whole
time.
Discussion about this sweet Montreal Expos t-shirt you're rocking
this
today.
This is a pretty cool t-shirt I'm wearing.
It is really cool. Baby blue.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was a big fan of them back in the day. I actually got this in Montreal because I was there for somebody else's bachelor party. A lot of bachelor parties in the last
year
for me.
Yes, a lot of bachelor parties in Montreal, too. That's a good place for one.
A lot of brain cells wasted. It took me a full week to recover from my bachelor party.
That's because you're
weekend.
Old now, like me.
I am. I'm old, and it's hard to do this now. Like, I laughed at Felger for puking in the Uber or whatever, but that's going to be me. There's no way that's not going to be me. If they ever send me to the Super Bowl, which they probably won't, but, like, if I'm ever down there, like, when I'm Felger age, that's what's happening. That's what we're going to be. That's a glimpse into the future that I'm not happy about. New Orleans almost killed me, Gasper. That place is amazing, but it's evil.
It is amazing.
It is evil.
Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah, you're getting old. Join the club.
I
can't bounce back like you used to.
Really, really can't.
You know what you need? You need after a long night of drinking and partying like that, you need a Synvisc injection like Kemba Walker.
Into my liver.
Yeah.
That should do it. All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Five questions with Chris Gasper when we come back. We got a little remix there from DJ B-Rob on the Wheels of Steel. Very nice. All right, five questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. Murray's not here, but the questions must go on. So we'll start with this one, Gasper. I'm not sure how paranoid you are about devices spying on you, but a lot of people are. And Alexa in particular. Alexa and the Google Home thing and all that stuff
Ring.
They're listening to your phone's listening to you all the time.
I know.
You think I'm right? Just say, hey, Siri, and it pops up. It stops whatever it's doing. It's been listening to you the whole time. It knows what that means. Anyway, there's a new bracelet, Gasper. And it was created by a computer science professors at the University of Chicago, a prototype wearable device that blocks microphones in the vicinity from eavesdropping on your conversations. Now, if you look at it, it looks like something they would wear on Star Trek.
It really does.
The Bracelet of Silence features 24 speakers emitting ultrasonic signals to jam nearby microphones. Gasper, Would you purchase and wear the Bracelet of Science?
I would. I have an Alexa, and I constantly keep it, like, on red, like, silent mode, even though I know it probably can still listen to me for this very reason. So if they can streamline this bracelet you're showing me and it's a little more fashionable, I definitely would buy it.
You know what? I bet the same company that makes, right? Like, Amazon probably makes this thing. They sent University of Chicago science professor, but they all work for Amazon. They're like, all right, first they're going to buy the Alexa. Then they're going to buy the Alexa blocking bracelet because we got you all by the curlies. That's why. Man. All right. I would definitely wear this thing. Let's see. Question two. Gasper, do you have a favorite Girl Scout cookie? Girl Scout cookies everywhere right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's the mint.
Thin mints?
Thin mints are my favorite. Even though they give me, like, at this point, I'm
it's a little basic, Gasper.
Again, I'm older. Well, I used to like the, what are they called? They're the ones.
Describe them to me, and I'll tell
you. Well, they used to call them Samoans, but that's.
No, you know, now they're the Caramel Delights.
That's not allowed anymore because it's politically incorrect. The Caramel Delights. Those were my number two, a close number two. But I like the Thin Mints, but they also give me, like, indigestion now because I'm old.
Yeah, that's true. I like the peanut butter ones. I'm a big fan of the Samoa. Wait, why is that problematic?
Because
by the way?
They changed the name because it was deemed offensive.
It was?
Yeah.
Huh.
Referring to
those are like the best ones though. Like if they called them, you know, the what's that, like the butter cookie or whatever, like if that was named after my ethnicity, I'd be like, hey, that sucks. That's problematic because I don't like that cookie. But everybody likes the what do we call them? Caramel Delights?
Caramel
like everyone
Delights,
likes those.
Yeah, those are really
I feel
good.
Like. Those universally liked. All right, so you're a Thin Mints guy. Let's go to question number three. McDonald's.
Yeah.
The latest to join the food-scented candle lineup.
What?
These are the questions. They just released a whole line of quarter-pounder merchandise. Each one of the candles smells of either McDonald's bread, ketchup, pickles, cheese, onion, and beef. So I guess if you light them all, you get the full quarter-pounder experience. What are your thoughts on the quarter-pounder candles?
Ugh, no. I don't like candles to begin with. I feel like they're a fire risk, and I'm, like, you know, a little bit of a fire bug. So I don't like scented candles. I don't let my wife use them in the house. But if we were going to have the one scented candle from McDonald's, I would want the scent to be their hash browns.
Okay.
I like their hash browns.
Yeah, I'd be into that. I'd want maybe to smell like the fries.
The fries, you know? That's true, too. Fries are good. Can't go wrong with Mickey D's fries, man.
You can't go wrong with the fries. You can go wrong with a lot of things, but not with the fries. Individually, they got a pickle-scented candle? What? I can't even imagine. Like, that's, you know, cheese or beef or whatever. I guess I get that, but, like, pickle? You know, pickle smoke flying through the air? That's gross.
Hey, so if you had a vegan friend you didn't like, you could buy them, like, the McDonald's, like, Big Mac scented
right.
candle and be like, well, I got you this scented candle, and then they'd light it and just be disgusted. If you wanted to really screw somebody.
It's like, hey, no cow was hurt in the making of this disgusting candle, so don't worry about that.
I got you a scented candle.
Question number four. Gasper.
Yeah.
Is there a game you play or played that you're embarrassed to admit that you play or you played that your friends teased you about, like chess or cribbage or Magic the Gathering or Fortnite or something like that? Is there a game that you're ashamed of?
Not really. I mean, no. I mean, obviously, when I was a kid, I used to play, like, board games. I was a big Connect Four guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously Candyland back in the day.
Dungeons & Dragons?
I was not a Dungeons & Dragons guy. No, I honestly can't think of, like, a game. Like, I don't think there's, like, a video game or anything like that. Most of my nerddom is related to, like, sports and 80s cartoons. It's not, like, a game sort of thing. So,
that's
no,
fair.
It really isn't.
I was a big Pog guy. You ever remember the Pogs?
I don't.
You don't remember Pogs?
No.
All right, so Magic the Gathering. When I was in, like, 7th grade, Magic the Gathering and Pogs were, like, the two big things. And Pogs were these little bottle caps.
Oh, now
I
remember.
And you'd slam them and flip them over.
Okay, I remember this now.
And they banned them in my school because it was gambling. Because if you'd stack your Pogs, then someone stacked theirs. And you flip them over. If you won, you got to keep them. So it was like gambling because we had to buy the Pogs.
See, Arcan, I'm from Lynn. So, like, when I was in high school, freshman high school, we were legit playing craps in the back
shooting
of my,
dice in the
back of my Latin class. I'm not making that up. That happened. We played craps in the back of the Latin class. So,
nice.
Little different from Pogs.
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a little
No different. One ever got stabbed in a Pog game that I remember. and finally, Chris Gasper, question number five. I saw this going around Twitter, so I threw this one in. The first athlete that you full-on stand, and you know what I mean by stand, like the Eminem description. The first athlete that you just were all-in fan of, who was that?
Deion Sanders.
Really?
Yeah, a huge Deion. I have the Must Be the Money CD.
Well, that's a big fan to purchase that.
That was my guy, Deion Sanders. Yep, Neon Deion. That was the first guy that I really hardcore stand.
When he was on the Falcons, right?
Yep. Well, yeah. I stand him when he was at Florida State. I would also say, like, a close second would be Ellis Burks, because I love...
Wow.
He's, to this day, still my all-time favorite baseball player.
All right, Ellis Burks. For me, it was Larry Bird. I mean, that's a pretty basic Boston answer, but yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
There you go. All right, there it is. Five questions.
Those were good.
In the books with Chris Gasper. Thanks to the silent partner of this program for coming through with those.
Thanks, Tracy.
And, yeah, thank you, Tracy. And let's talk to Matt McCarthy, who's sitting in. We got 4 hours action-packed coming up here. What's up, McCarthy?
Yeah, that's right. 4 hours. McCone's on assignment. So it's going to be me solo for a little while here.
Oh,
so.
No.
Really?
Oh, no, it'll be fine. Got Tucker.
Okay. Was that McCone's, like, news van parked out there last night that I saw?
Yeah, I'm assuming that was
Yeah, it was. Look, I'm like, who has a news van parked out
here?
That
would be Tim McCone. So, you know, listen, when news breaks, particularly in Providence, you got to cover the news. So he is on assignment.
What's the assignment? What's a big deal in Providence?
I don't know. Is it a Providence Hoops game? Aren't they playing now?
Yes, and it's interviewing somebody who is at the Providence Hoops game. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that. Lord knows.
It could be an exclusive.
I don't know if it's an exclusive.
Is this a WJAR exclusive?
I don't want to.
You get a bunch
of
priests in here all yelling at you.
That is the station he works for, right? It's JAR.
What's 10 in Providence?
I think it's
is that JAR.
I think it's JAR.
I do not claim to be an expert on anything to do with Providence, Providence news stations, anything like that. Lord knows I would not want to spoil what would be, I'm sure, big news for Providence TV.
Yeah, so JAR is 10. Yep, he's
there.
W-J-A-R.
You go. WJAR, Tim McCone.
JAR the jar. what do you got coming up, McCarthy?
We'll get into the Red Sox later on. We're gonna as you said, we're here for 4 hours, so we'll do some Red Sox. The latest disaster coming out of Red Sox camp. We'll do Celtics and the Kemba Walker thing. Do a little Patriots, Tom Brady stuff. But I want to open with the Bruins. The best team in Boston in the last 12 months, and it's undeniable. There isn't a close second. They just keep on rolling, and I think Don Sweeney did a really nice job yesterday.
I'll tell you, you got a tough act to follow with our Bruins segments, and you also had the hockey show leading into us. That
I have to say, that's the most positive thing I've heard you say,
that's
McCarthy,
a good point,
in like 3 years.
Well, you know, they are the best team in Boston because the Red Sox are an abject disaster. The Patriots had their worst year in 10 years, and the Celtics were nothing but a dumpster fire last year. So I'm not saying they've been the best team in Boston by default over the last 12 months, but it is undeniable that they've been the best team in Boston over the last 12 months.
Positive McCarthy.
I know.
This is weird.
I don't know how to respond to this.
This is a strange day. Like, Jim's not here, Arcan's here, and we're getting positive McCarthy. I'm all thrown off.
Now, are people going to accuse that of me of being disingenuous if I'm being positive?
They probably will.
So, yes. Yeah. A lot of that going around at the station, apparently. Yeah,
all right. Gasper, pleasure as always, my friend.
Right back at you,
everybody
Arcan.
Stay tuned. Matt McCarthy, and maybe eventually Tim McCone have you for the next 4 hours. That's all for us. I'll talk to you on Monday with Adam Jones right here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.